It's showtime.
Start off with a bottle check. Are you going? Let me know when you're going.
I'm going, baby. Let's get this. Let's get into it.
Okay. Monster. Oops. Spoiler alert. Bottle check.
No. What is Jake drinking?
This is called White Dragon Tea Monster Rehab. And I know you might be thinking, is there a purple Chinese dragon on the embossed can? Yes, indeed, there is.
Buddy, let me tell you, that is not going to taste good.
I'm really hoping for the tea, like, as the kids say.
Oh, yeah. Don't spill that tea, baby.
Here we go.
That's tea.
Cracking it
if
open.
The nice thing is if it tastes bad, then you can say, like, that's tea.
So far, it tastes like a stale Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's, like, not bad, but it could be a lot better.
I mean, that's about as good as you're going to get with a monster product, so.
I think so. Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? This is a podcast about reality television friendship. I watch eyes. My best friend Thomas Palvey did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I just want to say, right off the bat, as we were, you know, by we, I mean me was making fun of Monster. If they want me to change my tune on that, we'd be happy to let them sponsor the show.
We do have an email. It's didyouwatchlastnight@gmail.com. Is that right?
I don't think we've ever really thought about it that much. So
you can email us there, and we'll be Monster spokespeople. Monstars is what we'll be. Okay. How much do you want to get paid for this?
How much they got?
I assume a lot of money.
They're
sponsoring, like, every UFC fight, so I imagine they have a pretty penny. I think we could get, like, 50 bucks out of them.
Yeah, that's... You went a lot lower than I was gonna go, but... I don't know, we could sign a deal where we do, like, we could do ad spots in the next 50 shows and, for, like, 20 grand.
Oh, hell yeah.
10 grand each, right there.
What is this? Survivor? That's how much money they win, right? Speaking of which...
Well, we better be getting a new car there, too. I, by the way, had completely forgotten about that part of the fries from this season.
Oh, we'll get there. I made sure to put it in the notes. Thomas, I feel like I already know the answer to this, but I'll ask you anyway. Did you watch Survivor Borneo last night?
Buddy, I sure did.
The final episode, the first finale of Survivor.
Jake, I looked in advance to see how many viewers.
No, I wanted to announce it to you.
All right, well, don't tell me.
Okay, first things to say aired August 23, 2018, years and 10 days ago. We were both 9 years old.
That is correct.
Finally. Last week's episode received 28.67 million viewers. You guessed this finale would receive 35 million.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah, what was the number there, Thomas?
It was 51 million, was it not?
Closer to 52. So, if you're rounding
okay,
up...
Okay, yeah, but it wasn't 52.
It was like 51.7. If you're rounding up, you know the Nielsen's aren't super accurate.
Closest without going over. That's the rule.
Exactly at golf.
Yeah, that famous thing from golf.
You know when you start a golf game? Round? It's been a while since I've played golf. You know when you start swinging those clubs?
Yeah.
And they're like, all right.
When you hit the links.
And they have you stick your hand in a bucket, and you pull out a little bingo ball, and there's a number on that bingo ball, and you're like, all right.
They stick your hand in a bucket, and then you pee yourself.
Yeah, because it's warm water. Then they give you a number, and you have to get lower than that number, and that's how golf works.
That's, as I understand it, yes, that's correct.
That's why they call it closest without going over on grass. They call it prices right on grass. The King's Game. Did you know the Queen is actually the most powerful character in chess?
Yeah, because that game is about girl power.
Hell yeah, feminism.
The queen in chess is kind of the original girl boss.
Yep. The chess is a good game, and I have a really cool chessboard, and I never play chess. It's a travesty.
I feel like chess is an affectation. If you're too into playing chess, you're like the kind of person that talks about how, like, what your IQ is.
Look, Thomas, I watch Rick and Morty, so I have a very high IQ.
You have to get those jokes.
I'm Pickle Chess. Start off the episode with Jeff summarizing the season up to this point, which is good, because this is the finale. Oh, did I say the name of the episode was The Final Four? This is a basketball-themed season. Because Jervis was on this season, and he coached basketball.
God damn it, I really want you to play One Shining Moment now.
Oh my god, okay.
You should play that to close out the episode.
Oh, I already have a plan to close out the episode. But I could play One Shining Moment right here.
I was going to say, you gotta play it. Play that Luther Vandross.
Sue says that the boredom is the worst part of the game. Rudy assumes he's lost 22 pounds. Rich says he thinks he's lost 30 pounds. He says his hair is longer than he would normally let it be. Makes sense, Rich. Also, not that long.
Yeah,
when I get my hair cut, it's still longer.
Not much of a difference.
Than that. Sue says that you should treat your enemy like a civil person. Rudy talks about the final four of them, how they formed an alliance in the beginning, and says, "Now we're finished with the alliance." That's a pretty good line. If he had said it more forcefully, it would probably be in the preview for the season. That's my opinion on that line from Rudy Bosch. Survivor 2000. Rich says he is amazed that more people didn't try to strategize. Thomas is making an upside down heart.
I'm doing the Shayna Baszler thing.
Oh, I'm not super familiar with her.
I don't know why I'm doing that. Just Queen of Spades.
At first,
that's
what a. I've only seen a couple of her matches. What a bad gimmick.
No, Shayna Baszler's good.
No,
it's not a bad gimmick. It's a good nickname. It's not even a gimmick. It's just what her nickname is.
Well, NXT's gimmicks are just nicknames, actually, based on what I've seen.
Her gimmick is that she's, like, a monster heel, that she's, like, a cocky, like, shoot fighter.
Oh, is she, Monster Rehab? Because that's the only monster I'm interested in.
Yeah, there we go. The only monster I'm interested in is, that Imagine Dragons song. Good stuff.
Shut the fuck up, Thomas. Rich says he's amazed more people didn't try to strategize. Sue believes that in the end she'd have a better chance against Rich than she would against Kelly. Rich says he never would have known about the sub-alliance if Sue had not mentioned it. Sue says that she, Rich, and Rudy seem to be getting along now. Kelly says she feels vulnerable.
Rich and Rudy is my favorite Migos song.
Oh, God. All right, Thomas. You gotta come up with a better episode title than that.
My man's got jokes.
Next week we're doing episode titles. And we already got a good one for this one, so... That's all I'm saying. Okay, first immunity challenge. At the Tribal Council, Jeff asks them all questions about the other castaways. And it's pretty uneventful. They got rid of this challenge and at some point in the last, I don't know, 10 or 15
yeah
seasons.
This feels like something that would be on the challenge, not Survivor.
Oh, it's definitely been on the challenge also. Well, they used to do this every season though.
Really?
Yeah, and it stirred up a fair amount of drama. Maybe once they got away from, like, this is a dramatic reality TV show to, like, this is a game show
competition
yeah. game show. They're like, we don't need to, like, stir up this kind of drama. Because I think they quickly realized they didn't want to be the real world on the beach.
Yeah, they didn't need to be messy bitches.
That's the challenge.
That love drama.
So Kelly wins this challenge. They go straight into the vote. Jeff reads the vote. Sue, Rich. Rich points out, is their first tie. The way he said that, didn't feel genuine.
No.
Although nothing Rich says.
In the way, I was going to say, in the way that much of Rich says does not feel especially genuine.
Hey, there's only 6 carbohydrates in this Monster Rehab.
That's a real selling point.
Well, 12.
That's just a taste of the sort of marketing we can do.
I love the colors. I love the colors on the can, Monster.
That could be their new slogan. I love the colors.
I love the colors on the can.
You can't just be giving this shit away for free, Jake.
$20,000 each, every episode. For interspersed spots. Because we just like to drop them in, you know? I hate when you're in a podcast and it's just like they try to seamlessly transition, but it's like very obvious that there was an edit for the ad. That's not what we're doing here for our good friend Monster.com. Nope, different product. Yeah, fuck Monster.com. Only drink Monster energy drinks.
That is great where, like, I feel like the few times that I've listened to, I don't even know if he has it anymore because he was doing it for Yahoo, but Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast when he was doing it, like, he would go off on a tangent where it would be something related to his interviewer. Like, he'd be like, and yeah, you know, I know that you love, you know, seeing concerts live and you're really into rock music. And I was like, this is a weird line of questioning. And then it would go just long enough. They'd be like, God damn it. He's doing a spot. And he'd be like, SeatGeek is number one. It's like, how dare you trick me like this? I thought you were going somewhere.
No, the best ad reads in all of podcasts are Hollywood Handbook.
Yes, they're so very good.
You go on for like 6 minutes, and then you're like, wait, what is this product?
About like For Hymns or whatever, or they have like...
The
Santa Man shit, the origin of Chef Kevin is the Blue Apron ones. Which also, I mean, look, it's probably not interesting podcasting to be like, this other podcast is good, but like...
But it's so good.
One of the best running bits is just the fact that anytime Kevin is addressed, he just says, hey guys, Chef Kevin here.
And they like won't respond to him until he says that. Kevin, introduce yourself. So they tied the vote. Rudy and Kelly will revote. And then Sue gets both of those votes. You know, people say all the time, fourth place is actually where the best person in the season lands.
Yeah.
And I think it fits here.
They're not wrong.
Jeff tells them that the next immunity challenge is tomorrow and that he will wake them up. I felt weird about that line.
Ew.
So then Jeff comes to the camp at 4 a.m. and wakes them up. He tells them that they will walk through palm ferns, pay respect to their fallen comrades, the people they voted out, walk barefoot over burning embers, and then do their final immunity challenge. It's a very touching moment.
Yeah, certainly.
What was I going to say? This time, the fallen comrades segment was pretty digestible, but they, in later seasons, really milk that. And they'll play, like, a clip of each person and that everybody left in the game will, like, discuss
them. They play
them.
The Wiz Khalifa Paul Walker song every time that they talk
basically,
about
basically, yeah. Yeah. And then I think everybody in the audience was like, this is fucking awful. This is not why I watched the show. So they got rid of it. I think they still do it on the island, but they don't actually show it on TV.
I'm just pissed that, they kept that around, and it took an outcry to get rid of it, but people are clamoring to bring back the jet ski.
Thank you. Yes.
They won't do it.
Hashtag bring back the jet ski. I don't know why they haven't yet.
It's all anyone is talking about.
Look, no, you know what the problem is? Nobody on the cast has been, like, a super creative type person, but this season, they've got Mike White, who wrote Enlightened and one of the greatest movies of all time, School of Rock.
That's it. Look, this is all true.
And he's a big fan of Survivor, so he probably loves the Jeff ski.
I bet.
As he's walking off.
He seems like a man who appreciates a good Jeff ski.
He's like, here's a good storytelling bit for you, Jeffrey. Hey, you know what? Jeffrey rhymes with Jeff ski. You should be riding the Jeff ski to Final Tribal Council every time. I'm
piece of shit. I'm just like, whoa, calm down.
He, like, gets voted out and then just yells at Jeff about not riding a jet ski to Final Drive.
The fuck is wrong with you?
I only came on this show to tell you that this is what we want. It was a long ruse. I would do that. I would absolutely get on the show just to tell Jeff to do that.
I believe you would.
I love bits that require a lot of work that have very low payoff. Okay. So the immunity challenge, they have to keep a hand on the idol for as long as possible. You might know this game is something called Hands on a Hard Body. Something every local radio station does.
I was going to say, this is the thing where you have the car,
yeah,
and everybody has to keep their hand on the car.
It's a good challenge. It's so simple. I love it.
The simplicity really is the appeal of it, I would say.
And I was just fascinated by the editing of this scene. Because it's like, there's not a lot of action, but they still want to, like, you know, be moving around on the screen or whatever. And it's just cool the different shots they got, like, from the different angles and, like, the close-ups in the set. It was just, you know, they were trying to figure it out, and I think they did some good stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Some real good stuff is what we're saying.
Some real good stuff here on Survivor.com. As they begin, Rich says, I have a request for 69 bottles of beer on the wall, which,
yeah,
nice, on multiple levels. It's a good callback. But also, 69. After 2 hours, Jeff brings them oranges. After 2.5 hours, Rich announces that it's time for a speech and says, I hope you realize what I've done to get here, and then jumps off his little log and leaves the challenge. And he explains to Jeff how he didn't want to be the one to make that decision. Which is smart, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Because if you vote somebody out, I think this is why they got rid of the final two. If you vote somebody out, you're guaranteeing that they're not going to vote for you, I would assume, in the final.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the fact that Rich recognized that, smart. Very smart.
S-smart.
PetSmart. Jeff brings Rich some lemonade. That's good. Jeff discusses the sub-alliances with Kelly and Rich. Rudy momentarily removes his hand from the idol. So Kelly
momentarily removes his hand.
Like Luke Skywalker. Star Wars? You know Star Wars?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, so in 1977, George Lucas released a movie called Star Wars. It was about Luke and Leia and Han Solo, and Chewbacca, and Yoda, and C-3PO, and R2-D2, and Lando Calrissian, and Boba
Fett.
That's
what that shirt I have is.
That's what that shirt you have is.
That was referencing.
Yeah.
It just has, like, all of those names and ands next to it.
I didn't complete this line in my notes, but what I did write is, Rudy calls himself. So that's good. I think stupid. Kelly says she's nervous. Rich says he is not confident about the next vote. This is why he's the original winner.
That's how you knew he was a winner. He knew the game before anyone else did.
Do you think that's why, from here on out, anytime anybody has said that they're confident, they get voted out or something shitty happens to them or their alliance, because Rich Hatch cursed,
saying
you're confident.
It's
like, if you say you're not confident, you'll win the game. Now anybody who is confident, it's a hard road to travel. At Tribal Council, it's raining when they go to Tribal Council, so they're wearing their raincoats. My question is, why did they get rid of the raincoats?
I mean, it's a fair question.
I love the raincoats.
They're good.
Jeff,
I agree.
Jeff says that now that the alliance is no more, this comes down to relationships. It's very tense. Like, even though I know what's going to happen here, I still found it nerve-wracking. And I think that has to do with good editing. Kelly votes. The one vote. It's for Rudy. In his exit interview, he says, first time I've gotten a vote in a month, and it was the fatal one. I love Rudy.
Rudy's, yeah, he's a very enjoyable screen presence.
Yeah. Back at camp, Kelly does yoga one last time on the beach. She says she regrets joining the Alliance and working with Sue. Rich thinks that being in the final two is nice, but he is anticipating the jury questions, and then they burn everything in the camp down, including the Super Bowl 2000, which I had forgotten about. I was very happy to see that come back and be burned.
Yeah, get it out of there.
Super Bowl no more. Oh shit, Thomas, guess what time it is?
More like not so Super Bowl.
Good one. Got him. It's time for...
What time is it?
Game time. It's time for Wildlife Shots.
Okay, I was...
Were you like, what?
You had me confused for a second there.
Always be ready to ball. So words to live by.
I wasn't ready to ball.
You gotta be ready to ball.
I paid for that dearly.
Yeah. So there was a crab, and I specified with thick legs.
Crab legs, thick AF.
There were some fish, there's a bird, and then there's a caterpillar we've seen a couple times, but I haven't been able to figure out what it is until now. It's called the zebra sphinx caterpillar.
Aha.
They have an orange head and a black and white body, like black and white stripe, like the banded sea crate. They turn into a brown and yellow butterfly. Turns out looking up facts about caterpillars is very hard because they're all like, then they turn into this butterfly. It's like, okay.
Yeah, they're not around that long.
Like, all right, I guess. So the butterfly seems cool. It's like medium sized, I guess, and kind of looks like a moth, but it's a butterfly.
Yeah, that's disappointing when the caterpillar is cooler than the butterfly it turns into.
I mean, the butterfly is cool. I just like the big orange head on this guy.
Jake, the butterfly is not cool, okay?
Okay. Bloop. Let's try some words again. Okay.
Both on our game today. Is what I'm getting from this.
Yep. Every day. You know, I emailed Max Fun to be like, hey, here's a show you could pick up. I've gotten no response and I don't know why.
Man, I can't imagine why.
Let me start a sentence. At Final Tribal Council, Jeff explains what the winner gets, which is a Pontiac Aztec.
Oh my god, that... Somehow I didn't remember it, like, I saw that, and I already blocked it. The only more
you
2000
referenced
thing would
that
be...
20 minutes
no,
ago.
No, I knew they got a car, but I wasn't even, like, thinking again. Like, just hearing it out loud is so amazing. The only more 2000 thing it could have been is a PT Cruiser.
Yes. Yes. I think PT Cruiser was a little more... not high-end, but a little more niche than the Pontiac Aztec was trying to be.
I remember at a time, like, it's such an ugly-looking car now, but I remember being excited to see them. Same with the PT Cruiser. I was like, that's an Aztec.
Yeah, I remember having the same reaction.
I don't know why I was excited to see it, but
it looked
I definitely
different.
Was.
I also imagine every Pontiac Aztec is yellow. I don't think they sell them in any other color.
Was the one Walter White had yellow?
Maybe that's why I think that is.
It might have been Walter White.
Could be. More like Walter Yellow, the color of his Pontiac Aztec. I think also, though, when they, like, showed the Pontiac Aztec, because I know they win another one in a later season, I think it was also yellow.
Jesus Christ.
I think they only sell Pontiac Aztecs in yellow.
That might be true. I mean, I guess I can't really... I have no evidence to dispute that.
No. But I've only seen two off the top of my head that I can think of. Because it doesn't stick in my memory if I see a Pontiac Aztec in the wild. But if I see it on TV, hell yeah. They were both yellow. They were all yellow. That's the Coldplay song.
Who does that song? I don't think I've ever heard
that before. Coldplay, Chris Martin, loved Pontiac Aztecs back in the day. They were all yellow.
I like the idea that...
I don't know why my Chris Martin impression sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Counting Crows do that song?
They were all yellow.
Universe?
What'd you say?
I said, did Counting Crows do that song in this yeah. alternate universe that you've constructed?
Yep. Counting Crows starring Chris Martin. They get the yellow Pontiac Aztec. Do you think Rich still has it? They also get...
That would be amazing.
One...
No, he probably got it fucking seized because he didn't pay any taxes
yes,
on it.
I was going to say, they get $1 million that Rich, or that Jeff tells them they can do whatever they want with.
I'm sure Rich told the
judge.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he told the IRS.
Yeah. Jeff said I could do whatever I wanted, and
I said I could do what I wanted with it.
I wanted to keep it and not give it to the
yeah,
government.
I didn't want to pay taxes.
The sequel to that whole story is when John Rocker, whoever it was like, it's only like $600,000 after the taxes. Thanks, Obama.
No, that was Jeff Kent.
Jeff Kent,
John
that's
Rocker
who it was.
Didn't John Rocker get eliminated, like, immediately when people found out who he was?
Yeah, he got eliminated very quickly.
Because Jeff Kent seems like a shithead, but John Rocker, the minute you know he's John Rocker, it's like, oh, that's the racist yeah. guy, because that's literally the only thing he was famous
for
as a baseball player.
It's not the only thing. He was also terribly homophobic.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah, that's...
No. It wasn't one or the other, it was both.
It definitely was both, but the homophobia should have been the first thing I thought of.
Why?
Because that was, I think, the more notable thing initially.
Oh.
Because he was a little more outspoken about that, whereas the racial stuff, like, he definitely was racist, but he wasn't, like talking about it all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, but, like, you can be racist, and then you're just not in the WWE Hall of Fame for, like, 3 years, and then it's fine. You can be
yeah.
back there.
And then everyone is forced to forgive you.
Yeah. And then they're like, Velveteen Dream is the new Hulk Hogan, and it's like, well... No. What were we talking about?
Well, for one, he can actually wrestle, so it's not a good comparison.
He wore Hulk's gear.
Yeah, that was like a joke that he did that,
no,
though.
No, Vince McMahon forced him to do it, and then Triple H was like, you don't even run this division. I do, and he can do this. And Vince was like, no, Hulk Hogan is my son. And then Triple H was like, no, I'm your son. He goes, in-law.
I don't know what this bit is that you're doing.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. This is actually my way of announcing that I sold a script to WWE Network where I just come up with stories.
It's about the father-in-law, son-in-law dynamic between Vince McMahon and Triple H.
And I just riff a bit about a story that I invent on the spot. It's called improv. Look me up. And then somebody animates it.
You know what I would say to that if you were trying to pitch that to me?
What?
You're fire!
Do you want to play Vince McMahon in this show I'm making? Because that's a really good impression. Okay, so at Final Tribal Council... Callie says that she didn't come here to campaign for herself. She came here to make friends. She says she wants to be judged on the type of person she is. Rich says that things got...
That's not a good strategy
yeah,
for her.
No. Rich says things got complicated, things didn't go as planned, but he had a strategy since the beginning, and he played the game. Jervis asks if there's...
Just like Queen.
Oh, I've heard of them. Under pressure.
That song would be way better if he enunciated the R's in both words.
Under pressure.
Under pressure.
Like it's a fucking Talking head song.
Yeah.
I could hear that. Oh my god. Do you listen to Punch Up the Jam? I know I've talked to you about it.
I don't. I'm familiar with it though.
Paul F. Tompkins was on the last episode and they did LA Woman, the Doors song.
Oh, God.
And they determined that these lyrics really only make sense. Like, they would only sound good if it was a B-52s song.
Yep.
And they, like, impersonate it for a good 2 or 3 minutes.
Because anything would sound good if it was a B-52s song.
But it's so good. God, that show is just so good. It's another podcast that I highly suggest.
I think one of the problems this podcast has in developing, like, an established listener base is that we keep talking about better podcasts and how they're good.
Paul F. Tompkins has not been on this podcast, but he might have liked one of my tweets at him one time. So...
Fair enough.
No, but I would very highly suggest that episode. It's like the best episode they've done, unsurprisingly. And I don't want to spoil it anymore, but it's so
funny how that happens when Paul F. Tompkins is on somebody's podcast. Yeah.
They had some YouTuber on the last episode, and it was not good. So Jervis asks if they would change anything about their game. Kelly says that she would not have joined the Alliance. And Sean comes up and he congratulates them and says he likes Rich's idea for, and this is a phrase I had to rewind and listen to closely a couple times, Rich's idea for fat naked fag. What is that?
What?
Sean kept saying, like, referring to this idea that Rich had for something called...
Maybe this is, like, a self-deprecating joke he kept making, like he was going to do a reality series about it or something.
Yeah, but at no point in the rest of the season had Rich ever said that.
I was going to say, I don't think that they had ever shown that before.
Like, the only time that Sean and Rich talked about Rich being gay was when Sean said, "You don't like being called homosexual," and Rich said, "What are you talking about?" Yeah, that was, you know, sometimes the 2000s-ness of this first season is very funny, like the fact that they gave away a Pontiac Aztec.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they just say the word fag a lot in, yeah, like, the most watched episode of this show ever.
I was gonna say, man, that's just, it's, that's the luck of the draw with anything from any time in the past is, you're going to run into some stuff.
Yeah.
My only response is, were you triggered? I'm sorry. Do you need a safe space?
Yes. The safe space is called Ghost Island.
You libs are so easily triggered by...
by slurs.
Referencing. Yeah.
Colleen asks them what their top three character traits are, and Rich says self-awareness and observation, and then...
I think both of those things are true.
Yeah, but then Colleen calls him out for being so bad at that question challenge last time.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was very funny. But he pivoted very well. Rudy says, "I just want to say how dumb I feel after the mistake I made," and Jeff says, "Okay." My favorite... question and response. Rudy was the most on-brand person who has ever been on
this show. He really
was. I love him.
He really never disappointed. gotta be me, the yeah. Rudy story.
Yeah. I can't wait for them to make a movie about the creation of the show Survivor. And Rudy is played by Sean Astin.
Yes.
Greg asks them to choose a number between 1 and 10.
I hate you so much.
Why?
My brain tried to protect me from that joke, and then it hit me like 30 seconds after you said it.
I was going to say, that is not the reaction I expected,
like,
but
my
I'll
brain
just
was
continue.
Just like, nope, keep it moving, don't react, and then I was like, God damn it.
I was expecting to be so mad.
It's like, it's not worth it. And it wasn't.
It was one of my classic bits where there's a lot of setup for a bad joke. That's my entire
brand. Because it literally was my first thing. It was just like, Sean Astin. And then I was like, It's one of those where I couldn't process it. It was too dumb to process quickly.
How old is Sean Astin now? Like, in his 40s? Mid-40s, probably?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It's been, like, 20, 30 years. I'm sure they'll make a movie about the onslaught of late 90s, early 2000s reality television. Rudy's gotta have at least a cameo. And who better to play a character named Rudy than Sean Astin?
I like the part in Survivor where they hoisted up Rudy on their shoulders and were like, Rudy, Rudy.
How many times... I'm sure that when Rudy came out... When did Rudy come out? Like, late 80s?
Yeah, something like that.
So Rudy, our Rudy, would have been in his 50s, okay. Rudy's so old. But still young enough that I think his Marine buddies probably had a lot of fun doing that for him for a few years.
I'm sure, yeah.
He's probably a little too old to do that now.
It was a good bit for a while.
Yeah. Then Sue comes to stage. And she has a monologue. I wrote down the monologue, but then as I was putting my notes together last night, well, a little drunk, I said, I don't want to type this all out, so I just Googled it, and I said, Sue Hawk, Final Tribal Council speech, and then it was like, transcription? And I said, yes, exactly. So I copy and pasted the first result. And it's just so good. I just want to read it all. Are you going to be annoyed if I read the whole thing?
No, go for it.
Okay, it's just so long. And
it's really good.
It's really good. I wrote it all down and then rewatched it so that I could watch it uninterrupted. Okay, so she comes up. Jeff gives her the floor, and she says, I have no questions, I have statements. Rich, you're an arrogant, pompous human being, but I admire your frankness with it. You have worked hard to get where you're at, and you started working way before you come to the island. So, with my work ethic background, I give credit that to you. Okay, I think that was transcribed wrong, but you get the idea. But on the other hand...
This is all off the cuff, too, so she did kind of, like, hesitate a little bit before she said some stuff.
I think she, like, had it bulleted what she wanted to
say.
She
had a rough outline of what she wanted to say.
But on the other hand, your inability to admit your failures...
Like, folks, believe me, I beat Kelly. Very nasty person. We're going to be very, very tough on Kelly.
On the other hand, your inability to admit your failures without going into a whining speech makes you a loser in life. That was such a good line. Kelly, the raft persona queen, you did get stomped on national TV by a city boy that never swam, let alone been in a woods or jungle or rode a boat in his life. You sucked on that game. I was your friend at the beginning of this, really... thinking that you were a true friend. I was willing to be sitting there and put you next to me. At that time, you were sweeter than me. I'm not a very openly nice person. I'm just frank, forward, and tell you the way it is. To have you sit next to me and me lose $900,000 just to stomp on somebody like this. As the game wore on and the two tribes merged, you lied to me, which showed me the true person you are. You're two-faced and manipulative to get anywhere you are at in life. That's why you fail all the time. So at that point in the game, I decided to go out of to my alliance with my family and just hold my dignity and values in check and hoping that I hadn't lost too many of them and play the game as long as possible and hang in there as long as possible. But Kelly, go back a couple of times when Jeff said to you, what goes around comes around. It's here. That was fucking good.
Yeah.
You will not get my vote. My vote will go to Richard. And I hope that is the one vote that will make you lose the money. If it's not, so be it. I'll shake your hand and go on from here. But if I would ever pass you along in life and you were laying there dying of thirst, I would not give you a drink of water. I would let the vultures take you and do whatever they want with you with no ill
regrets.
This
is the weirdest part. Like, you could have just said vultures take you. Like, what are the vultures going to do with you other than eat you? Like, we know.
It's so
really
brutal.
Really needed an editor on this one.
I plead to the jury tonight to think a bit of the island we have been on. This island is full of pretty much only two things, snakes and rats. And in the end of Mother Nature, we have Richard the Snake, who knowingly went after prey, and Kelly, who turned into the rat that ran around like rats do in this island, trying to run from the snake. I believe we owe it to the island spirits we have come to know, to let it in the end, in the way that that Mother Nature intended for the snake to eat the rat. She came out swinging.
Yep. No holds barred.
Fucking
here.
Loved it. Like, everybody tries to show that up now, and, like, you just can't.
No, yeah, it's just people trying to capture a very organic moment.
Yeah. I think the closest...
Trying to reheat it.
I think the closest anyone has ever come, at least that I've seen, is when Ty was talking about the relationships you build in this game. I think it was in Ko Rong, right? Michelle and Aubrey, yeah. He was going against. And he was like, yeah, some people you're really strong with, some people you, like, bump into and never see again. It's like a water hyacinth
plant. The lilies on the, like, thing or whatever. Yeah, that was really nice.
That's, like, a very good metaphor as well. A very, like, the exact opposite side of the spectrum.
Yeah, it was, like, a very nice thing.
Yeah, but still very genuine and heartfelt and honest. So that was good. Ty and Sue need to come back for a blood versus water season. They can be a water relationship.
Sure.
I know that's how you like to separate them. As they vote, Jervis says Kelly played this game better than anyone else. Sue is what we call a sore loser. Sean says that neither of them deserve it. That's the best one.
Yep.
Colleen says that she planned to vote for Rich, but switched to Kelly and says, buy a raft and start an adventure tour company or something. Maybe this will make you be nice or something. I had no idea that so many people hated Kelly so much. I thought everybody, like, was, like, kind of cool with her, didn't really think too much about her.
No, people, she really was not there to make friends.
Yes, and she didn't. Rudy says that they had an alliance until the end and that he's fulfilling his duty. Jeff then reads the votes. Rich, Kelly, Rich, Kelly, Rich, Kelly. Spoiler alert, Rich. As if you didn't know, the biggest thing to ever happen in reality TV.
It really is the biggest reality TV moment ever.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I can't think of what else would have... I guess, like, the first season of The Apprentice, but, like, that was only big because this was big.
Yep.
I always think back to the, like, finger in the peanut butter on Real World. That was a big moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think any reality show has ever gotten numbers like this for any one episode. Also, funny coincidence, this finale episode got 51 million viewers. Richard Hatch, for not filing his taxes for these winnings, spent 51 months in prison.
Damn.
What a fun coincidence. Challenge chunk. Let's see. I didn't write down any notes. Hunter and Ashley came in as mercenaries. This time, if the mercenaries win the elimination round, they enter the game. So that happened. And I forgot whatever else happened.
Some other stuff probably happened. I don't know.
Probably. Are You the One is back. It's a shit show. It's the worst season yet. They got rid of challenges.
What? Why?
Because I think producers didn't have enough power in what happens on the show.
Wow, that's dumb.
So now they press something called a fate button, and it picks four people at random to go on a date, and then the house votes which one might be a perfect match. They, like, can pick from either of the four people.
That's so transparent.
I know,
that's
it's awful.
So dumb.
It's so bad. All of Terrence J's shirts are, like, three sizes too big. And it bothers me every single time.
It's like he's in, like, an early 2000s. Yeah. He's in, like, a Nelly video.
Yeah, exactly. I said, while watching it, I want there to be a crossover episode of this show and Queer Eye so that Tan can teach him how to dress properly. Because his shirts are all just too big, and that's what happens on Queer Eye every single time. They're like, yep. Your shirts are too big. Here's a shirt that fits. And it's like, oh, look at how confident I am now.
Yep. They just need a special episode of Queer Eye with the Queer Eye guys and the artist How to Dress Well. You can teach them how to dress
well. They could do the theme song for the show.
Sure.
So that's the challenge, and Are You the One? Are You the One? Bad. The challenge...
That's sad to say, right?
I mean, it's always been bad.
But it was, like, entertaining.
Oh, sorry. Did I imply it wasn't entertaining? It's incredibly entertaining. Right. It's just bad. Oh my god, Thomas, let me tell you what happened in this last episode. They went on a horseback riding date, and one of the girls who went on the horseback riding date was a horse girl.
Oh, good.
She rode the only white horse. And it was, like, foggy and misty in the forest, so it looked like a dream. And her horse bucked her.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was the greatest thing. It was the most beautiful irony I've ever seen on this show. Since season 5 Lost.
Oh, man.
Also, speaking of people losing, season 5 losing, Derek, not good at the challenge.
No.
It's so unfortunate. Really...
Yeah, you'd think he would be, considering he was a collegiate athlete, but no. Yeah.
Like a muscular dude, but people call him popcorn muscles now. Because he can't fucking do anything. Anyway, this has gone on too long. Challenge, watch it or don't, probably. What's the hashtag we mentioned earlier?
I don't know.
Okay, well, use that one again. I remember thinking, oh, I wanna call back to that when we get to the hashtag part. I'll just link it to the word hashtag in my mind so that when I see hashtag in my notes, I'll remember it. Nope. I just remembered there was something I was supposed to remember.
Use the hashtag dilly dilly.
Nope, don't do that.
We all love it. Use the hashtag.
Oh god. I was gonna say maybe we should start censoring dilly dilly, but then I
was a, yeah, actually that's why I thought to say.
Okay, that's like 5 in a row. Okay.
I like Mike.
Stop talking now.
He has a new line of breakfast products called and grits.
That's so close to the line, but I don't think it needs to be bleeped. Because it's a different product. Maybe the first part I'll bleep. I'm so fucking mad at you. I don't even know how many there were in that.
Stay mad, bitch.
That's me. That's my secret. I'm always mad, bitch. Is it still fun to reference the first Avengers movie?
It is if you change the line to that.
What's cooler than a million friends? I don't know how to transition that into the joke. But, you know, movies. Tom's IMDb Corner. You can follow us on Twitter, DYWSLN is that one. We just got an influx of new listeners or followers. I don't know why, but I think it's other podcasts.
Did we really?
Yeah, like, I think our follower count is higher than our following count, but that's only because I haven't started following the new cast yet. Once they officially release it, I'll follow all of them. DYWSLN is the show's Twitter again. You can follow that to get updates on whether or not we pushed back our recording day.
Yep.
My Twitter is...
We've never done it. And we never will do it.
If we ever release an episode on a Tuesday, it's actually because we did record on Sunday, but then I was very, very sleepy for a couple days and couldn't edit it.
Yeah. Jake had to hibernate for a day or two.
Look, I'm like a baby. I'm a baby bear.
It could happen to anyone. Okay.
Sleep is important. Winter is coming. Game of Thrones. What's cooler than a million friends? A billion Game of Thrones.
Gamer Thrones. Has anyone ever thought of that?
Gamer Thrones. That's funny. Thomas, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is at TomNotTom.
I was fully expecting you to make a joke there, and the fact that you didn't was even funnier.
That's what comedy is, man. It's subverting expectations.
That's why Jordan Peele's so good at making horror movies now.
It's true.
He was good at comedy.
That's why Jeffrey Ross is such a good comedian.
Because he's terrifying.
Those roasts, you just never know what they're going to say.
I love...
About Lisa Lampanelli or whatever.
Here's the thing, Thomas.
You never know what they're going to say about Lisa Lampanelli. There's just no way to predict.
Well, it's like there's so many jokes you can make at her expense. And they're all very funny. She is the embodiment of, here we go, roasting Lisa Lampanelli. What is DYWSLN but not a roast of Lisa Lampanelli every episode?
The ultimate.
She's,
I'm kind of a roast master in my own right.
Lisa Lampanelli is, the human embodiment of, Kermit the Frog and also Miss Piggy. Ba-do-ch.
Got her.
Lisa Lampanelli, more like Lisa Pampapelli, mispronounce your name. Fucking
oh,
roasted.
Hey, Barone!
Lisa Lampanelli, more like a pizza pie, big pizza pie in my eye, that's amore. Is she Italian?
That's Lampanelli.
That's Lampanelli. Coming this fall on NBC. I would love a pod.
What would the premise of that show be, and how centered around the fact that she enjoys sleeping with black men would be, like, how much of the premise would that be?
Oh, 100.
It would be 100. It would be 100% of the premise.
Every
right?
every single love interest, which there would be a different one every yeah. episode, because I mean that's Lampanelli.
There'd be a new chocolate daddy every single episode,
and then every plot line would either be about the dude she was trying to sleep with.
Also, all of her friends are like the roast people, yeah. and the whole time they'd just be like, "Hey,
every plot,
Lisa." Lisa Lampanelli sleeps with the basketball team.
Boo. Every plot line of every episode is about her trying to generate bits for the roast, the annual roast on Comedy Central.
Yeah, she pulls out a notepad and it's like jokes. Like it shows everyone doing jokes about her. It's like sleeps with black guys. ?
She's like, I've got some real bad writer's block. I gotta just write about whatever I see, and like she looks up and sees like the black guy she's sleeping with, and it's like, okay,
yeah, like,
there's an
idea. Who did I fuck recently?
Okay, I gotta send these to Jeff Ross, and then she probably faxes it to him. I think that would be a funny joke if we like use a,
it's a good joke, right
a lot
there.
Of technology from different eras.
Yeah, she like pages him.
Yeah,
to say that a fax is coming.
Yeah, fax coming through. And then the fax he gets says, fax coming through, F-A-C-T-S, and the fact is Lisa Lampanelli sleeps with black guys,
yeah,
which is funny.
Woo! Fax coming through, no fake news here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an episode where it's like, and our president, the Cheeto.
Let me get back into wildlife shots. The zebra sphinx caterpillar. That zebra swings the caterpillar in the off his big orange head.
Yeah, more like the zebra kofifi.
That's a good one. You should write that down. You should tweet that. You should tweet a kofifi joke in September
the one
of 2018.
Thing from those people that I see pop up all the time, it's the least funny thing I've ever seen, and yet somehow they all do it. Is, and I don't know who started it, it seems like it just was a thing that caught on organically, which is even weirder, but that thing where you just lowercase the T and capital the R in Trump, it's
what?
Like, oh, rump.
Oh.
And part of it is like, I don't know if it's supposed to be like, oh, he's like a butt, or if it's supposed to be like, oh, he's a Russian.
No, it's...
He's gay for Putin.
No, Thomas, it's because he's a Republican. If he were going by his real name, Drumpf?
Sir, I'm sorry, sir, he's not a real Republican. John McCain is a real Republican.
John McCain's not a Republican, he's a real American hero.
Yeah, he's an American, I'm sorry. At least George W. Bush had beliefs, so, he's not responsible for any of the war crimes that he committed, so, The only bad thing that has ever happened in American politics is Donald Trump.
I agree. Donald Trump really puts it in perspective of how good we really had it.
Of how great everything is except him.
Yeah. Donald Trump is bad and everything else is very good. I love America. America's always been great.
We got two problems. We got Donald Trump and we got those dang Ruskies who are out here spilling tea on the United States with their kofifi.
I'll tell you a problem I've got is Lisa Lampanelli scooping up all the black guys. What about for me?
Yeah, leave some for the rest of us. Yeah, maybe we should send Lisa Lampanelli to go sleep with Putin. Sorry, except he's too gay having sex with Donald Trump.
That's funny. We should make a lot of gay Trump jokes.
It's funny because it would make him mad for people to think he's gay, so it's funny.
It's like Kidding on the Square, except it's actually very funny. So
Yeah. That's
what is happening in the world. Trump is gay, Putin is gay, they're gay for each other. And
they're gay,
funny.
They're kissing all the time, they're constantly having butt sex.
Mm-hmm. They're constantly touching wieners, it's hilarious.
Which they'd be very mad if you said about them, so yeah. It's fine to say and good.
It's really like a Romeo and Juliet type story, but they're both gay, so it's like...
They're both very gay for
each like
other.
It's like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
I think we can do better than that. Bromeo and Julie Brett. Brett is a bro
there
name.
There you go.
Got it. What are we talking about?
All right, let's let's put this episode to bed.
All right, have a great summer.
Deuces.
Fucking hell in the cell, that's gonna be a fucking hell of a time. Do you think that's why they called it that? Because it's a hell of a time? Okay.
I feel like we're sitting on a gold mine right here.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sitting on an atomic bomb waiting for it to go off.
Dr. Strangelove.